again, Isaiah, probably the most important of the prophets, of the major prophets, in announcing the coming Messiah. All of them have, all the way back to Genesis, of course, Genesis chapter 3 in particular. But Isaiah, perhaps more explicitly than any other of the prophets, until we get to, of course, to the minor prophets, who are very explicit, even naming the place where he will be born. But Isaiah, extremely important as we celebrate Christmas and the coming of Christ. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the gloom will not be upon her who is distressed. And when at first he lightly esteemed the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterwards more heavily oppressed her, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. You have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice, from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let's pray. Our dear Father, every year it comes along, and we have to endure the awful abuse of the true biblical account of your coming into the world, and be subjected to the nonsense that we see about us, and how all seem to miss the purpose and message of this time of the year. We pray, Father, that you will help us in this message to declare the truth about your coming into this world, and that all of us might have hope. It is for joy and for peace that you have come. And we pray, Father, that many will find peace in not only in this message, but in the continuing message that we preach from week to week, from day to day in this world. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us as we explore the Word of God, and that we follow it and not custom in the things that we rejoice in this season. Bless, Father, this message in Jesus' name. Amen. First off, let me explain. I'm going to I won't be bouncing around at all. I won't call it bouncing around, but I'm going to be moving rather rapidly on a number of points. First, let me explain about the incarnation. Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Jesus existed as the eternal Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was the Word of God, the Logos of God. He existed eternally. It was in Bethlehem that he took upon himself a fleshly body and a proper human soul. Why was that necessary? Why was the incarnation here? Please try to understand that man was faced with a dilemma that he could not solve. He had sinned in the garden and fallen from grace, and he was condemned to die eternally and except someone save him. And the only plan that could possibly work, there was no man. God looked upon the earth and saw that there was no way to save mankind. And so he took it upon himself to save mankind himself by becoming man. Man had sinned as a human being. Therefore, any person that would reconcile man to God had to be a human. For the first time in the history of the universe, God took upon himself human flesh. That's why he was born in Bethlehem. It isn't a cute story about some baby in Bethlehem. It is about Jesus Christ, the eternal Word of God, who has to take upon himself and humble himself to take upon himself the human form that he might die. You see, before that, he could not die. He is God. And God is spirit, and God cannot die. But now he has taken upon human flesh. And for the first time in eternity, God can die. And he did. The Bible says that he was born to die. That he was born to die on the cross of Calvary, to be explicit. And that is exactly why he is born. It's not exactly a joyous thing. Although the angels sing, as you recall, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. The angels sang. Prince of Peace. Isaiah called him the Prince of Peace. And yet, I'm looking at the news items this morning. I just ran this off. Headlines. Iran refuses to cease uranium enrichment. We got a rogue state trying to create atomic bombs to blow up the world. Suicide bomber kills 7 police in Iraq. Ethiopia launches airstrikes in Somalia. Flower shops bring Christmas to Kabul. Ramsey murder still a mystery after 10 years. Holiday feasting highlights swallowing problems. There you go. World's oldest hockey stick sells for $1.9 million. Now there's news. Now, let me say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, Prince of Peace? What? What's going on here? What is this whole thing about peace? If ever there were a leitmotif of the Bible that is a general theme that goes from the beginning to the end, it is peace. Shalom in the Hebrew and Irene in the Greek. From Genesis to Revelation, peace is the word. And peace is what is announced when the angels appear in the fields of Bethlehem, outside Bethlehem. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But look around you, folks. Is there peace at all? It is hard to find any place in this globe where there is peace. Now, what does that mean? Well, there's not peace. The Shiites hate the Sunnis. The Muslims hate the Christians. The Christians hate the Jews and all of this kind of stuff. You cannot find the peace that seems to be promised in all of these things. Now, what am I to make of this? Is Jesus a failure? What? Did he come, as some would say, trying to bring peace on earth? Why? If you look around you, you have to think. If you think about this, you'd have to think, well, gee, that Bible story and that stuff about Christ is so much garbage. There's no peace in the world. How does it go? Wrong. The fact of it is that Jesus never said, I came to bring peace on earth. Let's explore some scriptures first. Let's go to John. Matthew chapter 10. Now look, I'm going to put this, you guys stay with me. I may be a little long this morning, but I want to kind of share with you my own views of what Christmas is about and what Christianity is about and what it means, peace on earth. You see, peace is still a primary motif of Christmas time. You have your Christmas cards that show peaceful scenes. The Courier and Ives kinds of scene, peaceful winter days. The word peace is plastered all over society and so forth. And yet, there is no peace. Indeed, as the prophet said once in the Old Testament, do not heal my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Matthew chapter 10. I want to, this same baby Jesus who was born in Bethlehem is now grown and is a ministering, a minister and is preaching the gospel. 10 verse 34. He says these words. This is Christ speaking. Do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Wait a minute. Didn't the angel say peace on earth, goodwill toward men? Obviously, Christ is not talking about the same kind of peace. And they have mistaken peace on earth. Let me announce to you, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there was peace on earth. If you understand rightly the concept of peace that God was speaking of, it was there, it is here, it is the kingdom of peace has come. Please understand, we're not waiting for it. It's here. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But the Apostle Paul is the one that puts it rightly. Time and time again, 50, 60 times, peace with God. How? Romans 5:1, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no peace outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is through Him that peace comes. And the peace is not man with other men. It's not with family, within families. Our families across the face of the earth are fractured beyond repair. Armies are against armies and people against people, race against race. If there is no peace, if that's what you're looking for. But the peace that came on earth that day, announced by the heavenly choir, was the reconciliation, the peace that was now established between God and man through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the peace we're announcing. And we are not failing. It has come. I enjoy it. Do you? Do you enjoy the peace of God that passes understanding, as the book of Philippians say? It passes understanding. The peace that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ is beyond mere peace among people. It is peace with God. Romans 5:1. Peace with God. It is the reconciling work of Jesus Christ when He died on the cross. It established peace. And it is an eternal peace. And that Jesus Christ was not failing at all to establish peace. He established it on the cross. And the proof of that was the resurrection. And the proof of that was that He ascended to the right hand of the Father. And the majesty on high, where He intercedes for us. peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Folks, peace is here. Has been established. The kingdom of God is here. It has been established, and man doesn't see it. Man goes about, as the Bible says, there should be wars and rumors of wars, and men will hate men and so forth and so on. There is no hope if that's the peace you're looking for. But the peace that really obtains is that which is preached from this pulpit every Sunday. We are declaring it every week. We are declaring it every day. Wherever we go, we declare the peace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have peace with God through the forgiveness of sins by faith in Jesus Christ. That, folks, is the peace of which the angels spoke. No one ever mentioned he said this more than once. Turn over to Luke chapter 12. Just in case you think that Matthew was mistaken, Luke chapter 12 at verse 51 through 53. Hang on a second, I'll get there. Wait a minute, I'm going to go back to verse 49 because it all fits together. Doesn't sound very Christmassy. But it works as for a Prince of Peace. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished. By the way, he's not talking about baptism in water. He's talking about the cross. Do you suppose that I came to bring peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. One more, same chapter, chapter 14. I think it's chapter 14, yes. How serious is he about this? Verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Peace on earth. He was announced as that one who would bring peace on earth, and yet he himself says, I came to bring division and conflict, even interpersonal, whereas families will be split over me. He's absolutely right. He was right then. He's right today. He's always been right. And that in fact, it wasn't a peace amongst families that he was trying to achieve. Although if you listen to the Christian the right of the Christian people, family focus and everything, you would think that God's purpose for being in the world was to establish peace of families. Amen? Are you reading the same book I am? He says that won't happen. But he came to bring division. And the division, of course, is over his name, is over the fact of who he is, the Son of God, Prince of Peace. But he is the only one that could establish peace between God and man. He's the only one. There is no other God. There is no other Savior. Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. These are wonderful things. John chapter 14, verse 27. You don't have to turn there. You'll know the verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I leave unto you. I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. He's not giving world peace. Didn't come to establish world peace. He came to establish spiritual peace between God and man. And he accomplished it from A to Z. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the author and finisher of faith. It's all done. Christ has not failed. The fact that there is not peace in the earth is only testimony to the evil hearts of man. And the only escape out of that is not peace between parties, but peace with God. I implore you, the Apostle Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I implore you, be ye reconciled to God. You don't need to worry about peace. It's not coming. Let me be political just for a moment. Yuri, you're going to agree with me on this one. We may not be in the, we may be in the minority. Will there be peace on earth? Never. Never until the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, will there be, as one person said, one minister that was on the TV, as I was listening to this man, said, oh, he was just so distraught over the fact that how the world was not at peace. He's a minister. The only thing that bothered me was that he was a minister. As a minister, he ought to know that there's not going to be peace on earth. That the only peace that there is on earth is Christ. And through Christ, where we find peace with God. And here's this minister bemoaning. He said, well, at least we could have some pockets of peace. I'm always tickled. Of course, there's going to be times when there's peace here or peace there, but guess what? Just about the time you think it's done in Iraq, it's going to be in Iran. Just about the time it's going to be in Iran, it's going to be in Argentina. And there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and man shall wax evil and more evil. That's what the Bible teaches. Does everybody hear? There shall not be peace on earth according to man. Politically speaking, the best you can hope for are, as what the poor man said, pockets of peace. Now, mind you, it is not wrong to work for that kind of peace as well. I believe that men ought to live together in peace. Indeed, we are instructed to do so in the Christian realms. We are not to entertain the kinds of prejudices in the Christian church that are outside in the unbelieving crowd, in the world. That in there is neither male nor female, Gentile nor Greek or Jew in the faith. All are equal before God. We are to live at peace with one another. But if you're imagining with the Christmas cards and the stuff about peace on earth, that he is talking about peace between nations, peace between peoples, you're totally wrong. Totally wrong. It is peace with God. That is the intent and purpose and the entire message of the gospel of Christ. Now, knowing that, let me tell you the success of the Lord's mission. He ascended to the right hand of the Father, where he... the book of Colossians says all things have been put under his feet. All things. Who's the ruler of the universe? Who's the ruler of the earth? Who's the king of the earth? Jesus Christ, the Almighty. That's who is. Now, if you think that this is out of his control, you're a fool. It's not. All things are proceeding in exactly that which he has determined. Everything. From Pilate, the one who condemned him, to Agrippa, who had condemned him, to the Claudius Lysias, who saved him, saved the Apostle Paul, I should say, and all of those things, all according to the predetermined purpose of God. And that predetermined purpose is still being worked out today. Now, don't you ask me to try to reconcile this with that. God will reconcile these things, and they shall be reconciled. But if we're going to talk about peace on earth, I'm going to talk about the successful achievement of peace on earth that came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was born in a manger. He took upon himself a human soul. God in the flesh. That's the word, Emmanuel. God with us. God has now become a human being. He got tired. He was weary. He wept. He ate. All of the things that we do. He suffered pain. He suffered temptation, which before, when he was in heaven with his Father as a spirit, the eternal Word of God, he could neither be tempted nor tempt. But in the flesh he could be tempted. And he was in all manner, the book of Hebrews says, like we were, yet without sin. Amen. So he was brought in a humble state, not only as a baby, a human baby, defenseless, but he was laid in a manger. There wasn't any room for him in the inn. A pretty humble beginning. And then he went through his life keeping God's law for you, for you, for you. Achieving that which you could not. Representing you that you could not do. And then he went further yet. And he went up the hill to Calvary. Now, some people see Calvary as this ignominious death, failure. Indeed, even the disciples said, what do we do now? And one of them says, I go a fishing. You remember that? I go a fishing. I'm going back to my nets. They were suffering some loss. But we preach from this pulpit. We preach from this pulpit that time on the cross of Calvary was not an ignominious death. It was the coronation of the King and Prince of Peace. He was coronated. He was lifted up. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lifted up means exalted. And he was exalted on the cross of Calvary. For all mankind, they think that he died there, and he did die there. But he died in victory over death, hell, and the grave. And brought peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Success! And then he cried on the cross, it is finished. It's all over. He has achieved what he set out to come to do. He established peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not forget that this child's name is Jesus. They shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save who? Huh? His people. Oh, boy. I know I've been long. I just happened to pull this out of my archives. This is a message I preached here some years ago called This Dangerous Child. This dangerous child. Not your usual Christmas message, but is a dangerous child. And this child was not your average child. He was God in the flesh. And then when they took him to the temple to christen him and to bless him and to give him to the Lord, and then the Simeon the priest said of this child, took him up in his hands and said, this child shall be for the rise and fall of many in Israel. What? What kind of a blessing is that, sir? As the mother should say. What? And he says, yep. And indeed a sword shall strike through your soul too, he says to Mary. What? Now this he came to achieve peace on earth, and he did exactly that. But he grew up from a child. From a child, he left Bethlehem. He left Nazareth and ministered the gospel and told the good news of the gospel in Galilee of the Gentiles. You see, the reason I read from Isaiah was I read back there in Isaiah that the Galilee of the Gentiles was going to go into captivity. They were going to suffer death. They were going to be reduced to thorns and briars. But when Jesus came into the world, he said of Naphtali and Zebulun, the very lands in the northern part of Israel that went into Assyrian captivity, they have seen a great light. Those that were in the shadow of death have seen a great light. Jesus Christ. had appeared on their doorsteps, preaching the good news. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Prince of Peace, Mighty God. I can't help but rejoice at Christmas time because of this great victory. It is seen the pathetic notion that somehow that Christmas is this. We talk about Jesus and look and bemoan the fact that there's wars and rumors of wars and everything. Just kind of makes me flat sick. I don't even like it at all, because the people are not reading the book. Read the book and see what peace it is that Christ came to establish. And then realize and know that it's been established. We now have peace with God. And all of us have been memorizing that all year long. Romans 5:1. Go there. Good place to end. Therefore, having been justified by faith, let's all say this. Can we all say this together? Come on. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Every one of you who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ have the heritage of that eternal peace. Peace with God. Never again can it be broken. It is eternal. Nothing will keep us from the love of God. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but I'm going to go home with that rejoicing. That peace has been established. That Christ was successful. And that all things have come to pass exactly what He came into the world to achieve. The only thing that remains to be done has to do with you and your response to this gospel, this good news. The only thing that remains, it's all been done. All of the work has been done. Now the only thing that remains is the application of the benefits of that work to each individual person. That, folks, comes by faith. Have you put your faith in Jesus Christ? Until that time, you cannot and will not have peace with God. Let's stand. Pray with me, please, as we close. It is clear, dear Lord, that I enjoy telling about the victory of Jesus. And that He came into the world according to Your perfect plan. From before the foundation of the world, You determined that He would be coming into the world to die for His people. And now we've seen it. The book records it. We call it Christmas, for whatever good or evil that may be. But we see Jesus coming into the world as a babe in Bethlehem, defenseless, under the care of a young woman and her husband there. And we see Him grow and then announce His ministry through John the Baptist and be baptized and begin to preach, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and believe the gospel of peace. And Father, that message is still being preached. We have taken up the baton, has been passed to us, and we are still proclaiming peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. We have it. It has been established. It has been accomplished. And now, Lord, we would pray that You would apply the benefits of that redemptive work that Jesus has already accomplished and achieved, and that You would bring it to fruition in the lives of all who hear this gospel, that their hearts would be changed, regenerated, born again to believe this marvelous message. And so that we can hear the same words as the disciples heard. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives. It is My peace I leave with you. Father, it is this peace that allows us to flaunt death, to boast against it, for it has no pain for us. And we are thankful, dear Father, for the peace that passes understanding. We wish it for all people, but they seem distracted from it. May we cause their attention to be brought back to that one person. Not one manger, not one story, not three gifts or wise men, but to one person. Jesus Christ, who is the peace of God. And we ask, Father, that you do your marvelous supernatural work in our hearts today, causing us to remember and calling to our mind the wonderful message of the angels as they announced peace on earth, goodwill toward men. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.